Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Monday Night Sport Wrap-Up. It's your boy, TT Times. We're about to get this thing rolling. But, Sportsy, I'm going to let you know something, right? My brother Tommy, go ahead and post the question right before we get on air. It got me rattled. Y'all know I can't deal with trivia. I can't deal with trivia, man. But I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside to kitchen. Thomas is alive.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, be airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for the tap. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard of us, the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands.
Okay, Sports City, man. The call number is 917-889-9592. That's like people listening to like Elvis. You know, stuff like that, like legends at a time. That's a legend in my time. I grew up on that, man, and just something about that Biggie, that Rocky flow. So I feel like I'm at the top of the steps in Philadelphia, and I'm not picking on the Eagles at all. I'm not, because a lot of people have been trying to pick on me about that. I was chilling with an Eagle fan lately, too. So I'm not. I'm done. I'm not even doing that, but I love that beat, love that song. I love that guy. Rest in peace, Christopher. SportsCityChefs.com, that's the website. You already know what to do, man. The calling number, I already got to that. A lot of stuff on my mind. I can't wait to get to a lot of these dishes, man. We got 60 minutes to get this thing done. First and foremost, I got my brother here with me, Tommy B. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
Feeling good. Aggravated a little, but can't just say about Big E, greatest rapper of all time in my generation.
Okay. Oh, there we go. Hey, starting me off right. It's already bad enough for us that he got me off on the wrong foot in the green room to start the show. He put the question out, like, literally, when we had to start the doggone show up. But, for us, I'm going to get into everything that I need to on the weekend that was. I mean, a lot of stuff happened. But, first and foremost, and I got to, like, kind of go to, like, legendary type stuff. I'm going to go to legendary type stuff. So, first thing I'm going to go to is Tom Brady and the Patriots were off to a 10-0 start up in Denver. And it was something about the matchup. Even with Brock Osweiler as the quarterback, I didn't feel like it was safe knowing that Denver now has one of the top-ranked defenses in the league. And I felt like Denver could make this a game, you know. And all of a sudden, Brady is making everything happen. They couldn't do anything with Gronk. And, you know, all of a sudden, it looks like the Patriots are going to take care of business. Interesting enough, and this is where football schematic comes into play. Now, me personally, I'm like the sofa, the couch coach. You know what I'm saying? Like telling them from home what to do. At that given time, I'm like, why don't they just run the ball to get the clock out of there? And unfortunately, Brady throws a pass out there. Gronk tried to make a play on it and gets his knee taken out from underneath him. And it's a bruised knee, but the way that Gronk was moving on the ground, I'm not even going to lie. I'm not a Patriot fan by no means, but I feared that Gronk had torn a ligament in his knee again. This would have been the second time Gronk torn a ligament in his leg. But they're saying it's a bruise. He's day-to-day. They said that he might possibly not miss any time, but still yet, knowing how big of a piece to the puzzle of that offense is for Gronkowski, when he went down, I started saying out loud, you know, they're human now. Now the Patriots are human. Now I know, and I'm not even going to run away from the conversation at all. I still feel Brady's the best quarterback that I've seen or that has come through the NFL. Forget that I've seen. Best quarterback that's come through the NFL. And made the rules change, so on and so forth. I understand that, and people didn't have the, you know, the legal contact rules, so on and so forth. I understand. I respect that. But him losing not only Julian Edelman for the season, or at least for the regular season, losing Deion Lewis for the season, Amendola was actually out, and then Gronk went down. It's tough to try and hang on to a lead with four of your key players gone. So with that being said, Denver caught back up, took the lead. Great efforts by Denver. I can't take too much away from Denver, especially Brock Osweiler. And this is an interesting thing I want to look at. Is this the birth of Brock Osweiler? A lot of people were saying, well, this could have been the spark that he needed to go up against the best quarterback that we've seen in Tom Brady to end up winning a game in the middle of Denver, snowy day. He had to carry these guys downfield, 80-yard drive to make things happen. I mean, interesting enough, Brock Osweiler is making a name for himself, but outside of the Tom Brady, outside of the Brock Osweiler, there stands a guy named Peyton Manning that might not see the field again because of what Brock Osweiler can do within this offense. I want to know your thoughts on the game. We do have a caller in Q2, Tommy. Your thoughts on where Denver goes, if they really keep Peyton on the bench for the remainder of the season and kind of, you know, watch his career come to an end from the sideline instead of him making another pass. That might have been the last pass that we've seen Peyton Manning throw if Brock Osweiler keeps this up. Tommy, your thoughts.
Congratulations, Osweiler. Brock, I didn't think they'd do it. I really didn't. The only thing I don't understand is the whole game, you put pressure on Brady. You were sending pressure. Then you turn around at the end of the game and you go into that stupid prevent defense and you let him go march right down the field. Because the first possession of overtime, what do? You go right back out on defense and you put the pressure on. Now, was it me or was also, wasn't there some cool, I'm the farthest person. Let me put this up before I say anything else. The farthest person that likes the Patriots. I love watching Tom Brady cry and bitch and whine to the official when stuff don't go his way. It's hilarious. But was it me, or was there some questionable calls, like the pass interference with Gronk? They haven't called that all year against them. Couple questionable holding calls. The pass interference on the DB. It just seemed like it was setting up perfect for Denver. To get to the whole Peyton Manning, I think Chandler was right. I really do. I'll give him the credit now. I do not. If they won this, they looked okay. Osweiler missed some throws, but I'll give that because of the weather. Weather played havoc on a lot of games this weekend. He missed some throws, but he got it done when he needed to. I do not think we see Peyton the rest of the year.
Okay, there goes one. I got one. Calling in from Wales, the Welsh Dragon himself, Rodri. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
Oh, man, what a weekend of sports. I'm feeling great. I'm just proud of Brock Osweiler, guys. You know, just way to come in and win a big game, knock that tail off from New England. Yeah, how's it going?
We're doing all right. So your thoughts on the situation right now with the Patriots basically losing their first game of the season, but still sit atop the AFC. I mean, it is a big factor that he's lost a lot of players to injury, and injuries are a part of the game. You can't overlook that situation, but they just lost their first game to a team that is mentionable at the top of the AFC, regardless of how you look at it. And everybody is looking like the sky is falling. But outside of that, you know, with the situation that me and Tommy just brought up with Peyton Manning being on the sideline and there's no timetable on when he may return, does Brock Osweiler stay as the starter or does Peyton get back behind center? Have we seen Peyton throw his last pass in the NFL? Your thoughts on this, Roger?
Show that I thought that Brock Osweiler come in I don't think John Elway does that. I haven't seen enough from Brock Osweiler. I mean, he was good last night. I mean, he managed the game very well, but he made a few mistakes. The running game for me last night was outstanding. They found a way to run the ball and just the one game through running the ball. You know, Johnson stepped up at the right time and he played really well, won the game in overtime for them. And you know, the injuries that come on the New England team. You know, Chandler Jones laying outstanding ball. I mean, you're gonna have to be in the league. You know, there's sayings that he's, you know, he's on that at that level. Really good and to run the ball out. And I just think he's getting rest. He's gonna come back and he's gonna be good. I don't think do it to him. You know, I think they too much respect for him. And I don't think Lev Boswell, past Emmanuel Sanders was outstanding. But that was the game breaker for me. And then he hit Rashid Caldwell for the touchdown. I thought just great. For me, it's his job for the future. We know this, but I think they got too much respect for Peyton Manning to let it go now. But it reminds me of that Brady Drew Bledsoe situation when Brady came in for Drew Bledsoe. You know, mm-hmm. it's sort of got something like that in it as well. It's going to be interesting to see. It's a big decision, but I don't think Elway does it to Peyton. But no, I think Peyton comes back.
And I don't think Elway has too much to do with this right now. I really don't. I really think this is more or less a Kubiak situation, because this is something that Chandler did hit on. Brock Osweiler fits this system better than Peyton does. He fits it better than Peyton does. So knowing that quarterback has to be somewhat mobile to get out of the pocket and make some of those throws, Osweiler was ready to heave one. I mean, he had an incomplete pass, but he's ready to let that thing go. And that offense has to slowly believe in him. I mean, it's not as heavy as production as Peyton Manning would have with his offense, but Emmanuel Sanders, especially the catch that you're talking about at the end of the game, I mean, Emmanuel Sanders was getting these grabs to go down in this game. So I can't look too far past a Brock Osweiler that was successful up against a Bill Belichick defense. This is a Bill Belichick Patriot team.
That took away Thomas until the fourth quarter.
Yeah, one question I got for you though, guys, you know, when it comes down to playoff football and, you know, experience, you know, Brock Osweiler hasn't really got that. Peyton Manning has got that in abundance. It's a different ballgame. We know when that tournament starts and the playoff starts, you know, and do you let Peyton Manning go out that way? You know, knowing that he's fit, do you let him go out like that? I can't see that happening somehow, but I understand.
Okay, Roger, I'll tell you like this. I'm going to tell you like this. Look. Tom Brady went through the same situation. Tom Brady has never played in the playoffs before Drew Bledsoe got lit up by Mo Lewis. I still remember the hit. I still remember the hit when Mo Lewis hit Drew Bledsoe. And if Drew Bledsoe was smart and slid feet first, probably we would have never heard of Tom Brady. Think about that.
I know.
Think about it like this, too. Say Brock comes in there. Brock, he went against. Peyton David will come back. Say Peyton stinks up the joint and starts losing. You don't think Kubiak and the front office didn't go hear from the fans?
It's a good point.
What's working.
It's a good point.
Right. And he hasn't lost since, right? I mean, since Osweiler's been in there, I mean, he's 2-0, right? So, I mean, you got to go with what works. And look, I'm going to be brutally honest. And you guys know me, so it ain't like it's no surprise to you. But I am not a Peyton Manning fan at all. I do not like Peyton or what he does on the football field. I'm going to be honest. But I respect him, though. I respect him, and I know that he could dissect any field that he wants. But from what I've seen for the games that Peyton has played this season, I don't know how it's getting better. I don't know how you can put Peyton out there and you want him to be a strong quarterback, and you're rushing him through rehab right now. You're rushing him to make sure that he's back by playoff time, which – it's 5 or 6 weeks away, however you look at it. It's a month away. And you want him to come back and get into game speed. All these teams are in mid-season to end-of-the-season you know, condition. They are ready to make these plays. We all know Peyton's not fleet of foot. We all know Peyton's arm strength is lower severely. Severely. And he has receivers that want to go up top, make these plays happen with DT Demaryius Thomas or Emmanuel Sanders making things happen up top. Peyton doesn't have that arm to get them the ball out there no more. Like I'm worried that if they do bring him back, look, this is what I'm looking at. If they do bring Peyton back, probably be around week 15, right?
Yeah.
So they're saying no timetable, so I'll give him 3 weeks, right? He come back week 15, lose the game, then they're going to be playing that fiddle faddle. Who are we going to start, him or Brock? Him or Brock? By the time they figure it out, it'd be the playoffs, and somebody blow it. Either Brock be rusty when they should have kept him in, or Peyton coming in there, and he's not the Peyton Manning that we always were scared of when he came on the field. You know what I'm saying? So they got to watch what they're doing. If Brock is successful, leave him in there. He needs to take those lumps. I mean, just like I said before, Tom Brady never started a game before when Drew Bledsoe got lit up. He won a Super Bowl that season. Mm-hmm. He won a Super Bowl that season.
I remember, like, crazy. Yesterday.
You, me too. I live up here. There's a ton of Patriots fans I'm around. Like, believe me, like, it has to start somewhere. And it was interesting because I thought about it the same way that you did, that Brady, you know, went through the same thing with Bledsoe. But also, the same situation that's happening with Osweiler, could Osweiler have this type of defense that's behind him, like the Ty Law, like the Lawyer Malloy, like the Teddy Bruschi? Like, he has names with him right now. And all he has to do is manage the game and get the job done.
Not to cut you off, Tom, but if they're able to run the football like they were, he'll be fine.
But look, the reason why I feel like they were running the ball good last night is because of that snow. I think that snow helped them run the ball. And Anderson was probably, since he's so low to the ground, it's harder for him. I mean, harder for anybody to like get shifty like him and make plays on the ball. New England's defense looked so shaky at the end of the game. For them to give up 17 points in the fourth quarter, that is not a Bill Belichick team. That is not a Bill Belichick team.
Their foot was all over.
Right. I really think once they built up confidence for Anderson to carry the ball, I really felt like the game was shifting momentum big time.
Did you see that one cut he done? He went like horizontal across the field and just cut it outside to the edge. I mean, that was a great run. And he's back to where he was last year now. I think he struggled earlier in the season. He's back to where he was last year. Denver's no play for their run attack. I mean, to me, it's great to see Kubiak go up against Josh McDaniels. And there's talk again about Josh McDaniels, you know, taking on a head coaching job. I think he will get another shot at being a head coach. I think he understands now there's more, you know, a player relationship he's got to have, you know, as well as just knowing the X's and O's the way he does. But going back to Denver, you know, in our running game, Ronnie Hillman as well, you know, showing that he can run the ball. You know, and the best thing about it, Evan Mathis didn't even start the game last night. He sort of come in and, you know, Vasquez is blocking well. Everybody's sort of blocking and getting it done. And it's like I said, you know, it's there for Brock Osweiler to shine. He's 6'8", and, you know, he throws the ball. And it's going over the head. No, receiver's got to jump for it, he's doing for Paxton Lynch. Like I said, he's doing for Paxton Lynch what Russell Wilson done for Johnny Manziel, in that, you know, these the taller quarterback and sort of succeed in the NFL. He's prototype brilliant, you know, and his arm strength is excellent. He's the future, and the thing is, Ty and Tommy. What it is, he's gonna be able to make throws that Peyton Manning can't, and I think he's got the arm strength now at this moment in time to make a few throws that Peyton Manning can't, and that's the only reason I can see why they would start him over Manning, because I think Manning, you know, mentally and experience wise, you know, and just out of respect for his career and out of respect for the man and player he is, that's reason enough to start him. But on the other hand, you've got to go with, you know, with a guy who can make that throw and score the points when it counts. So, you know, and that's football, and it's unfortunate, but it's a business. So that's the only reason
Let me tell you like this. I'm going to see it just like this. Osweiler can actually be, and I feel like I'm reaching for this one, people. I'm reaching. I'm going to do this. Osweiler could be the reason the Denver Broncos could probably get to a Super Bowl and win it.
better than Peyton Manning. And I feel bad that I'm saying it. And I know that I respect Peyton Manning, but I don't like him, but I know what he can do on the football field. But let's just think about what the last three or four seasons that Peyton Manning has played football. Every single season that he's played outside, every single season that he's played in the past four seasons, he has done something critical to mess the game up. Critical.
Yeah.
I mean, Seattle was just punching him in the mouth. Like they knew that he couldn't move. They were coming after him. The Seahawks were coming, and Peyton couldn't do nothing. I really think that he saw ghosts. Like he could do. Who would have thought that Peyton would be in the Super Bowl and be shut out to the fourth quarter? Like I was stunned. I couldn't even believe it was the fourth quarter. Denver didn't have a point. They didn't have a point. It was like, 30-something to nothing. 30-something to nothing. But then you could think back when the Ravens played him in Denver. He threw that pass across his chest, got picked off. You know what I'm saying? Last season also, when Denver fell short, another situation up against Andrew Luck, they lose to Andrew Luck. Like honestly, and of course, you know, Luck wins it, you know, the Colts brand, and you know, Peyton wants to beat his old team. But we all know that if we play nine times out of ten, we would all think that Peyton would come out with that win, and Luck came out on top and ended up running up against Tom Brady and got slaughtered, and the Deflategate started and stuff like that. But
Luck beat him this year.
That's icing on the cake. But I'm talking about Peyton in the postseason. And the one thing about Peyton that hurts is I'm thinking that he's thinking too much. Because Peyton, just like you said, Rodney, all of the experience he brings to the field and knowing that he's been in the league since, what, 98? Peyton's been balling since 97, 98. Like, he's seen everything, exotic packages, how many blitzes they're going to send, like so on and so forth. He's thinking that happens, and they all drop back. Then it's like a situation where he got to try and force a pass, and his arm strength ain't there. Like you got to take this away from him and try to win another way. I really feel like if they, and I feel like I'm crazy in saying this, that they have a better chance to win with Osweiler instead of Peyton Manning. They have a better chance of winning. At least how I feel.
Yeah,
I do too.
I think the three of us understand that, you know, Osweiler's got a better arm at the moment and is better physically than Peyton Manning, but mentally Peyton Manning's got that edge. I don't think unless Denver has to get to make this decision right. Whoever they go with, if they lose, it's going to be questioned that the other one should have started. You know, if Brock Osweiler loses, we should have started Peyton. If Peyton Manning loses, it's going to be, you should have started Brock Osweiler. So, you know, that's the way it's going to go, but they got to win, and it's a big decision.
Okay, I got another situation similar to this, before I really get on my soapbox and start crushing people, but I'm going to save that part. People in Sports City, what do the Indianapolis Colts do right now while Hasselbeck, let me get it right, I'm going to say your full name, while Matthew Hasselbeck, the oldest quarterback in the league, is 3-0 behind center. When Andrew Luck gets healthy, do they bring Andrew Luck back, or do they roll with the experienced one that's actually been to a Super Bowl before, and Matthew Hasselbeck when he was with the Seahawks? That's an interesting plug for me to think of on what they do. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is actually a reverse situation. You know, we're going with the youth over the vet. Now we're going with the vet over the youth. Roger, your thoughts on that situation in Indy?
Can you imagine this conversation preseason that we're even talking about this? Like, Matt Hasselbeck or Randall. It's unbelievable.
They would kill me.
It's unbelievable. I mean, just to me, this sums up the NFL because we never know. We just never know what's going to happen. I think, I don't think you can do it. From a business point of view, from the franchises, you know, and I've read that Hasselbeck wants to plant Luck as a starter. They can't afford to do it as a franchise. I think you know, Luck is the future, and Andrew Luck is a brilliant. He's going to be a brilliant quarterback, and I think at the end of time he's going to be Hall of Fame. I think he's going to be that good. But Hasselbeck's getting it done. You know, Hasselbeck has always had that confidence in himself. Can you remember the coin toss against Green Bay.
Yep.
He said, "I want the ball and I'm going to score." I mean, as soon as he's done that, to me, that summed him up as a person and as a player. And, you know, then people started to think, well, you know, this guy's got a lot of confidence, and he took him and he took Seattle to the Super Bowl, and Pittsburgh beat him. But you know, age for a quarterback, age, you know, is a good thing. You know, because you learn so much, and you know, mentally you can win games, just manage the game, and you know, that's what he's doing. But Frank Gore, man, he's taking knock. He's a tough running back, and he's, you know, he's a big part of that offense in Indy. But I think you just got to go with Luck, Ty. Tommy, I think you just got to go with Andrew Luck, you know, for the franchise's sake.
So you'd rather go with Luck while Hasselbeck is hot. Interesting.
Yeah,
Tommy, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, but I just think they got to as a franchise. You know, I mean, imagine if they go with Hasselbeck, and he sort of loses, starts losing, and you know, it's gonna look bad on him.
He's 3-0. I could care less if he starts losing. Rodri, when Andrew Luck was behind City this season, do you know they were under 500?
It's amazing, Ty, because like we were saying, like Andre Johnson, T.Y. Hilton, you know. Kobe Fleener, how can you not know, even Moncrief? He's probably been the best of the receivers, Moncrief. It's amazing.
Listen to this. They have Philip Dorsett that runs a 4.140 in that receiving core.
Mm.
I'm gonna just lay it up and tell him to run. Catch him. And they got all that underneath, and they are that unsuccessful. But meanwhile, Hasselbeck grabbed the reins, made Andre Johnson relevant. Listen, I had Andre Johnson on my fantasy team. When he was in Luck, I had to bench him. Do you know how bad that? I'm a diehard Hurricane fan.
I know.
I watched Andre Johnson bring a championship back to Coral Gables. I do not want to hear me having to bench Andre Johnson because him and Luck weren't making it happen. Like, he looked lost. Hasselbeck got him in there. They started making that connection happen. If they bring Luck back and Luck don't get, you know, have success with the offense, then it's like, what? Like, do we look at Luck as not being the guy? I mean, of course, they put all the, you know, all the eggs in one basket on Luck, but Luck can't win the big game, or he gets in a playoff matchup with Brady and then falls short, or this season starts off and he started out 4-5. Like, come on. Like, he's partial of the reason why the AFC South looks terrible. He is part of the reason why the AFC South looks terrible right now.
Something that, you know, I don't know what it is with him. I mean, Ty, one of the first conversations you and I ever had, you know, was Andre Johnson. I mean, that was like, it was the Miami. I know Tommy's a huge Kane fan. You know, and he's going to know Andre
Tommy,
Johnson.
Tommy's a part-time Hurricane fan.
Part-time. Please, I've been a Hurricane,
you know,
all season. More than like scum people on the phone.
Go ahead, Rodri.
No, I just thought it's just amazing. I mean, you know, on paper, you look at that offense coming into the season, and I picked Andrew Luck up on my fantasy team. Andre Johnson coming in from Houston, you know, the division rivalry. It was all set up for him, and I think that's what it was. It was sort of almost too good to be true. Like, the four receivers, they had drafting Philip Dorsett also, you know, four. And then you add in, you know Allen and Fleener. You know, you've got six receivers there that could start on almost any team in the NFL. And they just didn't get it done. I mean, from the start, they struggled. And Pagano wasn't happy. Luck wasn't happy. I think it was just too much, too good to be true. And I don't even think it was pressure, to be honest with you. I don't know what it was. It was like, you know, there was no excuse for it. You know, and the way they were passing the ball going, you know, last year, he was hitting T.Y. Hilton on some beautiful, you know, seam routes and fly routes, and they were hitting everything. You know, he wasn't missing. And, you know, coming into the season, it was all there for him. But Andrew Luck, I think it's a good learning curve for him. I think this bit of a slump is gonna make him better, and I think he's gonna bounce back from this. To be honest, we're gonna see Andrew Luck play really well. So, going out this season, I think guys, I'm gonna.
Yeah,
say,
I don't.
I don't look at it like he won't be a great quarterback, because I still respect Luck. I still feel Luck is a playmaker. He's a pocket passer that's mobile, and I respect that. But right now, I would rather stick with what's working or stick with who's hot. Like, you got a guy that's on a winning streak right now and is not really fazed by what's going on. Tampa Bay was inspired. Like, you got to think about the Bucs are 500, like, feeling themselves. They got Vincent Jackson back. They have Evans rolling. James Winston just had a 5-touchdown game, even though it was against Philadelphia. But still, yeah, like, they're building up that confidence in front of a Tampa Bay defense that they do have an interesting front seven. However you look at it, with Lavonte David, with McCoy, I mean, they haven't really put it together in a dominant unit, but you got to respect that. And he got the job done. He got the job done. If they can keep that core together, Kobe Fleet and not play scary. That's the one person in that entire offense for the Colts that bothers me, is the way that Kobe Fleet plays scared. Like he's not 6'6 and 250. He plays like he's 6'2, 210. Like, dude, you're a house, and you don't play ball like you're a Gronkowski. You know what I'm saying? Like, and he's Gronk size. He's Gronkowski size. If you check the numbers on Kobe Fleet, he's that size, and he doesn't play that type of ball. So that's what I'm saying. Like, if the Colts can stay consistent with Hasselbeck, why not? Why not? I would not bring in a rusty Luck that you feel he's getting his swagger back while he's in practice. He looks good in practice. He's not in mid-season form. As a matter of fact, while he was in the season, he was getting bumped around and throwing picks. I have a fantasy, so I see his numbers. I see his numbers. Like, so this is what I have to pay attention to. Tommy, your thoughts on this situation? And I have callers in queue. I have one that's ready, one that's chilling, but let me know how you feel about this situation with a vet taking the young pup spot and looking good at doing so.
I think you play Matthew. That's what's working. If anybody wants to save their jobs, you go with what's working. You let Andrew sit back, watch the game, and learn. Because if you bring him in there and then you don't, and you lose a game or two because of him, and you don't make that postseason and say Matthew's been winning, there goes everybody's job. You got, this is like you all, like we always say, this is a business. The offense looks better. They're able to, I think Andrew's biggest problem is he holds the ball too long. Matthew, he can read it. He sees, okay, got it here. You got Hilton here. If this safety does this, here we go. Pop. Down the field he goes. Because Hilton and Dorsett, if you give them a step, all you got to do is give them a step.
It's a problem.
They're gone. The only way you're catching them is if a safety or a corner or whoever's got an angle on them. So, I mean, you got to go with Andrew. You got to let Andrew set, watch, and everything. Because that injury that he's got, that, what is it?
He has a lacerated kick.
Right. That could take longer than what people think to heal. Because I said it with Romo, you don't rush him back because you don't know. You could get hit right. You could get injured again. Well, that's the same thing with this injury. You let him sit back, you let him learn and everything. Because that's another thing. Griffin is RG's the same way. They do rush these rookies in and everything, and they have success right off the bat, and then they think, well, okay, I can make this throw. And then when they don't, well, then everybody wants to, he ain't that good. You let him sit there and you let him watch.
I agree with you. I would roll with Matthew Hasselbeck, but I have a caller in queue calling from the state of Minnesota. I have Jeff in the building. Welcome to the wrap of how are you feeling this evening?
I'm well, besides driving a snowstorm and a very old shuttle with bad tires. Not bad. You know, it's snowing like a banshee here in the great state of Minnesota. This morning was like an ice rink. I could have played hockey in some streets, but anywho's. Congratulations on your Motor City. I did have them winning, but again, that's a team that you saw quit on national TV.
No, don't do this to me. I don't want to start feeling all bullshit about the Lions. I need them to do what they need to do, man. I don't like talking about them.
It was good to see. You guys were on the road, and you embarrassed the idiots. It was fun to watch. I mean, that's what you're capable of doing. Why I had you guys the wild card. And you being a fan, you know, you're on the same boat I'm on. It's like you shake your head disbelief and go, where was this behavior before? But it is what it is. You guys broke the mystique in Lambeau. I think you can get it done in Ford Field again. You know, I mean, you guys started bleeding.
This is how I feel about it. Like, and I said this on my way to work today. I said, we had to get rid of a Lombardi to try and get back to the Lombardi. You understand what I'm saying? And it feels bad because now they open up the playbook and everything's working now. But while Lombardi had the playbook, it was like Matthew looked terrible. They were limited. And I'm not even going to lie. I was the biggest advocate here in the kitchen questioning Stafford. Now, we look alive now. Now they look like they're back to their stuff. So that's all I'm going to say about them. I'm going to say one more thing. Ziggy Ansah. If you don't know about Ziggy Ansah, look him up. But other than that, I'm done.
Oh, no, I understand. It's too bad you got rid of the shoe and everything else, but it is what it is. I think you guys went on Thursday. But this is why we're here. This is why football is so fun. You saw I call the ostrich, Osweiler, get her done last night. Great overtime. I didn't get a chance to watch. I watched the highlights after I watched the third quarter. But this is why we're all here on this little round table. That's why I started podcasting. You started podcasting, what, about 5-6 years ago? This is why we like the National Football League, because of this. It's a short season. You know, y'all talk about football, and I mean, baseball is long, dry, and so is pumpkin ball and hockey and whatever else. But this is a fun week, 10, 11, 12, and look at Kansas City making a minor run here, AFC. This is why we're here. You know, the Cowboys. I think he just mentioned Romo. I shouldn't have brought him back. I mean, from IR, I don't think Page should come back. But I think he's done. His career should retire, but. Yeah, you know how it is. It's like you said, it's a business. And I get all
the thing with Romo, I agree with Tommy. I was saying that before. Don't rush him back, because he was supposed to be back the game after the Dolphins. And they brought him back game with the Dolphins, and they tried to save face for that game. So, I mean, he won the game up against Miami. And ended up playing the Panthers, and you put them up against the Panthers, a hot Panthers team that has not lost to anybody, and they end up getting to them. So that's the one thing I'm thinking about with
right.
You know, stuff like
all right,
that.
Well, I got to get going, you guys. Hey, I got to go, Tyrone.
All right. So I do have another caller in queue calling in from the 404. I have Nas in the building, Nas. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are we feeling this evening?
I'm good, man. What up, everybody? What up?
Hold up. We're doing all right now. Interesting way that I started the show, it was, you know, I want to say kind of like the youth versus the vet and the vet versus the youth in quarterbacks. And the one situation that you seen last night with the Denver Broncos and the Patriots, where Osweiler is basically at the helm and is successful in managing the job right now and looking, well, I can't really say looking better than, well, yeah, looking better than Peyton. I have to say it. I'm actually scared to say it. Do they stick with them? And, you know, in reverse situation in Indy, you know, with Hasselbeck 3-0 starting, comparable to Andrew Luck, who was under 500 as a starter, I mean, do they stick with what they have right now, or do they go back to the notables that everybody loves in the NFL?
On the first one, I think we all kind of predicted that Osweiler was going to be successful, mainly through the fact that now they're playing under center and their running game is viable again. Peyton playing straight from that shotgun and is kind of washed up as he is. That caused a lot of problems. Killed the running game, and he was just a duck back there throwing ducks. So yeah, I think Osweiler should get the job if they're really interested in winning. He should have the job, and that's no knock on Peyton, man. It's just, you know, Father Time comes for us all. The other situation, I think a little differently. I think Andrew Luck is a great talent, and there are some things at a position that he needs to learn. And I'm sure he has learned a lot watching Hasselbeck get that ball out quickly, like Matt was talking about. And you kind of got to, if he's healthy, you kind of got to put him out there and hope that he's, you know, learning and making those reads quicker and not looking for the big play every play. That's kind of why he throws so many interceptions as well. He's kind of gotten a little greedy as far as the big play. When it's there, you know, don't lose all your gunslinger bravery, but you do got to dial it back a bit. And if he dials it back a bit, Andrew Luck will be in there just as well, even more successful than Hasselbeck is right now. But shout out to Hasselbeck, man, because he is playing some really, really good ball, man. Old dude just getting the ball out.
Okay, so how about this, Nas? What is going on with your dirty bird right now?
Everything I told you to start the season, that the roster needs to be turned over. Quinn has a bunch of guys on one-year deals who he's trying to also show me what you can do type thing. Matt Ryan, I told you, is a perfect conditions quarterback. The blocking is great. The receivers run good routes. The running game provides help, and the defense plays good. Then Matt Ryan is all pro. But if there's any deficiencies anywhere, he can start to fall apart and look horrid. And that's what he's looked in the past five games as they played better teams. I don't think Dan Quinn came into the season thinking that they were going to make the playoffs or anything. I think the 5-0 start just kind of gave everybody a false idea about them. But remember, Dan Quinn didn't draft Matt Ryan. So I'm sure he'll give him two more years at least. But at that point, he might think about drafting a quarterback. Because as much as I like Matt Ryan, there are a lot of limitations there. He is not all pro guy that he looked like when he had Julio, Roddy, and Tony Gonzalez, and Michael Turner in the backfield, and a decent defense. A lot of guys could have looked good with that.
Really, a $100 million quarterback to get rid of him in two seasons. Interesting. Okay. Tommy, your thoughts on the situation with the Vikings. Extend their their schedule, not even their record. I'm bugging. Their record is now 8-3 on the season. With Teddy Bridgewater in his second season as the starter, I mean, they are making it click offensively in the passing and in the running game. Adrian Peterson looking like he did not miss a beat by missing a full season last year and is sitting atop the NFL again, running the ball like crazy.
Real quick with the Falcons, you know what's hurting, right, Ryan? You don't have Gonzalez. Because when Gonzalez wasn't playing, if he was out hurt or something, Matt Ryan struggled. Now everybody's getting to see a full season of it.
Minnesota, I mean, we've all pretty much thought this last year about Minnesota. If Adrian Peterson was there, I mean, that was the big thing they were missing. They didn't have that running back last year, that running back that you could have to put that extra man in the box. Because everybody was like, well, okay, try to run the ball. We're going to play the pass. Now they got that extra, you got to bring at least a little. You ain't got to bring back because they still got them speedsters outside. It's like you got to play. Do you bring the man up and have him throw the ball over top? Or do you step back and hope Adrian doesn't break one? I mean, Minnesota's a real deal. Defensively solid and everything. And Stephon Diggs is starting to come in as a rookie, produce. I mean, I liked his game in college. He just couldn't stay healthy in Maryland. I think Minnesota's going to be okay as long as they don't, like, no major injuries.
Okay, there was one more game before. You know what? I'm getting to it right now. So no, there ain't no turn out the lights. Turn them doggone lights on. I'm ready to go. I sat here too long for this sports city. Now. Yesterday, we sat right here in his doggone kitchen, Sports City. We sat here right in his kitchen, right? And I said, you know what, Sports City? I'm going to go against the grain. You know, everybody in the kitchen feels some certain way about something. I said,
I'm going to go out there on that limb by myself. Do you feel me? I'm going to go out there by myself. Shout out to my father. Rest in peace, Mr. Powell, because he was a Redskin fan. So, by the way, that gave me a true notion to go with him, and I know my father would be talking all types of junk to a Giants fan before the game and even after the game. Even if the Redskins lost, he would talk that junk. But it wasn't the reason why I went there, but I had somebody close to me say, and Sports City may not agree with me or may not like what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. Somebody came to me and said, watch the Redskins win the NFC East. So I see this matchup, right? And I'm like, the Giants are 5-5 and trying to get their swagger back, but they're playing shaky football. And the Redskins have the most drama in the NFL going on. And somehow, some way, they are still, like, within range to make something happen. I said, you know what? I'm going to go with the Redskins, watch the Redskins win and beat the Giants. Everybody in the kitchen like, Ty, you crazy. That ain't happening. Giants going to win. Eli's going to take care of business. Guess what happened? The Redskins won. So you know Tyron. I had to. I was sitting here too long for that. But there's a lot of interesting stuff that I want to look at in this. It's like, And I hate to call him out like that. I feel like I'm talking about the Manning family, and I am. But it's like, you don't know what Eli you're going to get. Are you going to get championship mode Eli where every pass is a completion, whether it's a short-range ball, or are you going to get Eli that has a turnover or two, or he's just not getting it done or not putting points on the board, and he's looking questionable on the sideline every time he gets to the sideline? And for some odd reason, the Redskins did just enough to win that game, and the Giants had the ball late also to try and make something happen. And, you know, I first got wind of the situation from Tommy because I was in transit to try and get to another place to see the game some more. And he like, Ty, you won't believe what happened. And I'm like, what? He like, the Giants. So I'm like, damn, the Giants must have won because he was letting me know. He's like, nah, the Redskins won. I'm like, stop playing. So I felt good about it. But now this is the interesting situation. There's a two-way tie at the top of the NFC East. And Chandler Knight, I give you a ton of credit in saying that the NFC East is the worst division in the NFL right now. I was saying the AFC South is slowly climbing their way out of that gravel or however you look at it. But you got the Texans, who are above 500 right now, you have the Colts that are above 500 right now. Everybody in the NFC East right now is under 500. Everybody. So I want to see you guys either feel about that game where the Redskins pulled it off 14-20, or we can talk about the division also. Now I'll let you start it off first.
Yeah, man, I'm going through some old records down here in the basement, so I picked up Teddy P. That's why I was saying turn off the lights. I thought I was on mute, so excuse me on that one. As far as those two horrible divisions, I still maintain the AFC South is worse, but, I mean, even within that, you're still talking about splitting hairs of two horrible divisions.
The top of the division, these guys are above 500 in the AFC South. Like, they've turned it around. Like, at least the Texans, for the most part, look stronger now.
Man,
like,
they're not good.
They're in the playoffs.
That's nice that they did that, but they're not good, okay? Like, they're not good. That's just the reality. And as far as the R's, great win by them, man. Kirk Cousins, he had one pick six that was dropped. So that part saves him, but Kirk Cousins was solid, man. He had to bomb the D-Jack, and he played a really good game. And that was something I didn't expect, and we saw a bad Eli with three picks. And one of them you can't really blame on him, tip drill, which kind of went crazy. But,
right.
Yeah, man, the Giants are really blowing a good opportunity for this division this year. But I still think they'll come back and win it from the R's because the R's are horrible.
Before you go crazier, do you believe the Redskins can win the East?
No.
No.
Not with that guy at quarterback, not with the rookie who's dynamic but fumbling, and you already lost Alfred Morris. And D-Jack, you already know, my homeboy used to call him Juice Box. And, I mean, when you hit him, he just squishes the guy. He might be hurt.
Right.
Soon. So I just don't see that team winning. And I also delight in all of their failure because I hate the franchise. I hate Dan Snyder. I hate the name. I hate everything about him.
Okay. Well, Tommy, you're laughing. You live right there in the DMV. Warren, your thoughts are, I know a partial of how you feel, but let the people know how you felt about that game. And two, am I crazy? And I got this from somebody. Somebody gave me the inkling, but I feel good in saying it in the kitchen because it's like you're hearing it first. But I'll give the person credit if it does happen, that the Redskins can win the NFC East.
What I told you yesterday when we were on the phone, I said, watch these SOBs win this East. It looked like that what we, because I was going back and forth to different games. What I saw, it looked like the Giants didn't even want to be out there and play. They didn't show up till what, about 5 minutes left in the fourth, eight minutes left in the fourth, and they started to play Giants football. It just looked like they were unmotivated. They literally looked like at times. They don't look, well, it's the Redskins, so let's just show what we can show up. We beat them bumps. And they got punched, and I'll say it, they got punched in the mouth. Now, Mr. Eli Manning, why in the hell are you throwing the ball to the Redskins in the red zone? I mean, I'm going to say to Tom, I'll tell everybody the same thing I told you. I'm done picking the Giants on anything. I will never, I don't care who they play the rest of the year, I'm going with that team. I'm done putting faith in Eli Manning and then sorry Giants, because they're not even the Giants. They remind me of the little Giants like that movie. I'm done.
So this is what you're telling me, that the Giants go 5-11. That's what you're telling me. So they're 5-6 right now. They lose the next five games.
Who knows in the East? Who in the world knows? It depends on who doesn't want to win the game more.
Right. That's true. That is true. That is true. But like I said,
I mean, that's what it looks like. It's who can turn the ball over more or who can play unexpired football.
Like I said, I feel comfortable that I can sit here right now and do one of those against the panel, and I pulled it out again. I did it against Winston. Y'all better start rocking with timeless. They call me timeless for a reason, man. They all went with the Giants, and I went with the Redskins. I feel good about that one. I feel good about that one. Now, here goes Mikey D. When Mikey D said the Rams are going to beat up on Cincinnati, and he didn't show up. He didn't show up because he knew I was going to get him. I was sending him messages. I was like, the Rams don't look too good of a pick, man. I don't know what was going on, but Cincinnati woke up and beat some boys up real bad.
So, that was what happened.
I mean, they have no other choice. They put Case Keenum out there and got him flailing around. Like, what are they supposed to do? And now Jeff Fisher is hearing it from all types of people on what he's doing down there in St. Louis, and he's telling the media to tell everybody the kids is behind. So Jeff Fisher is starting to feel the heat down there. Well, I don't know if he's in a hot seat or not, but people are asking questions about Jeff Fisher also. I mean, that's interesting in itself as well, but I definitely had to get that one out there. I do got Rodgers back. Any other games that you guys would like to touch on in the NFL before I go to something critical? I feel like I have to address.
If allowed, man. The Miami Dolphins, where we see Ryan Tannehill has gotten somebody else fired.
God. Oh, my God.
Not even just that.
not even that. You got Sue running his mouth to his teammates, saying that his teammates aren't good enough to play with Hill. And he hasn't even done a damn thing on the field.
Yeah, I hope that quote was taken out of context and they missed his words, because if he really did say that, he deserved a good old-fashioned locker room training camp beatdown. Like, you just
well,
can't say
that.
Who, like,
he did say that, but who's going to mess with him?
No, hold on, Todd, this is what I'm saying. No, you can't say something like that and nothing happened. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can't say that and you just come into the locker room like, no, you can't say that without some consequences. Like, somebody, they should have put hands on him if he didn't say that. Not in a battery way, trying to get charges, but in an old school football hazing way, to where you just let him know. Like, look, Sue.
Who in that locker room is going to mess with Sue? Name somebody.
The whole defense. Because that's what we called out. So that's the whole deep. Like, nah, man, you about to go in this ice tub. Like, nah, you don't get away with something like that. But back to the topic at hand, Ryan Tannehill, he will get another coach fired before it's all said and done. He's horrible.
Wow.
He's regressive beyond belief. That's why they gave him that Kaepernick contract that they can get out of. But, man, they made some huge, huge bad decisions with their money down there in Miami. And we'll see what happens going forward.
Now, let me say this to you, Nas. Before the season started, if everybody in this kitchen was jumping down my throat on how I was saying, I don't believe in Tannehill. I do not think that he's the quarterback for tomorrow for Miami. Like, they were looking at it like, not saying Sports City, I'm just saying, like, people in general are looking at Tannehill to be the guy down the road for them. You got to think that this is a converted receiver turning quarterback, and he doesn't have that, you know, football IQ like he's going to turn into, let me just be fair and say some names, like a Flacco or you know, give me some quarterbacks that just won one Super Bowl. Like I want to put him in. I don't want to start saying Big Ben or Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers won one Super Bowl. I don't think he's going to be that guy. And look at what they did to him yesterday. Listen to this. Tannehill had 58 pass attempts. Do you feel confident that Tannehill is getting 58 pass attempts against the Jets? Against the Jets? Because you know Revis had a concussion. That was cool. That was cool. Like I don't get it. And another thing about the Sue situation, as much as I loved him when he wore Detroit blue, I'm not going to sit here and act like I was a dude that was against him. I loved Sue when he wore Detroit blue. But it was always something. It's always something Sue will do or will say or some action. It's something about Sue. And for him to go in that locker room and challenge the entire defense saying that there's only a handful of you that could play alongside me, wait, hold on. Just like Nas said, now I will be pissed to the point that we might get into a fight, but it's like I don't want to dab that conduct detrimental to a team and then get suspended without pay or something like that. Because your Big Ten just came down here from Detroit and soaked up $119 million. They are paying you like you're a freaking quarterback. And I know I wanted to see him stay in Detroit. Calvin's already got a $100 million contract. Stafford getting big money. If you want the same thing, like, stop. Like, your attitude, your ego is going to always follow you and haunt you until you get it together and become, I hate to say it like this, but it's the truth. It's going to hurt me because you were with us for a while, a team player. When it stops being about Sue and when Sue starts to concern the team before himself, that's when I think he'll be extremely dangerous. I think he'll be extremely dangerous when that happens. But right now, he's in his own way. He's in his own way, and it'll continue to be like that. Nobody can talk to him. You can even see, I've seen a story on that one, like E60 or something like that, and they were talking about his upbringing. He was always like that. Nobody could slow him down. He had his own, you know, mindset. He's intelligent like a monster. He's extremely intelligent, so he knows what he's up to. It's not like he's slow or you know, he's behind the cusp. Like, he knows what he's doing. Like, I don't know. I don't get with Sue, but
he's got to think that situation out a little better. He makes too much money to make that kind of statement, especially with defensive players who aren't making that and are seeing you come in as a supposed guy, and now they're looking around and saying, okay, well, if you're that guy, then why are we this? So he just can't make that mistake, man. Like, the money that he's paid puts him in a kind of a leadership position, so you can't really just ish on your teammates like that. Like, to say that they're not good, like, I get that. That team is not good. They do have a lot of changeover coming in the future. But it doesn't need to be said. You know what I'm saying? Certain things you don't tell your girl that if you were 100% honest, you would. But you don't, because you got good damn sense.
What happens if they quit on him on defense? What happens if they go out on the field and they just – they're like, okay, he thinks he's best one. Let's see how good he is. And they just turn around and walk off the field right before the snap and leave his ass out there by himself.
It wouldn't make sense for them. I feel like it wouldn't make sense for them to do that. Like, they'd have to go out there.
That's what I told you. The beat down in the locker room is necessary. Not something that makes the papers, just to let him know. Like, man, there was a time Bill Cartwright threatened to break Michael Jordan's leg. Now, you know the importance of Bill Cartwright on that team compared to the importance of Michael Jordan. But it was just, as a man, I got to let you know something because you went over the line. And that's what was necessary here.
And, oh, by the way, they also lost their offensive coordinator, and Zach Taylor also. Bill Lazor. I got the name wrong. Bill Lazor got fired. Zach Taylor is the new offensive coordinator. So a lot of stuff is happening down there in Miami, outside of Tannehill, outside of Sue. Things are rolling in Philbin and as well as Lazor as well. Both of them losing their job within a 5 to 6 week span. Like. Things are going down in Miami. I don't know if this turns around. We do have Roger.
I bet we see some running plays next week. I bet you they'll throw it 58 times again. Bye, Bill Lazor.
You think Tannehill will have another 58 attempt pass attempt game?
No, they're going to run it with Lamar Miller. I mean, that's what it keeps
Kind
of stuff.
Of course. Right. Of course. I'm a diehard Lamar fan. Of course. That's ridiculous. For Tannehill, I think that's what got that coordinator fired. You mean to tell me you feel safe having Tannehill throw the ball 60 times? I mean, I'm off two passes, but 60? Really?
I know why I'm with you.
Hell no. Tannehill, look, at the best, I'd say like 37, and I'm scared to say 40. At the most, I would ever want to see Tannehill throw the ball is 37 times. Like, that's at the most. He still ramped it up and threw the ball 21 more times.
You know what else is interesting, Todd? Bill Lazor made his bones made his rep off of developing Ja'Cory Harris to a certain level at Miami. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he got out of Dodge.
Ja'Cory who?
The NFL came hiring. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right.
But you know my point,
right?
Here.
Ja'Cory Harris Martell, he was one of the players from Miami, and I hate to say it like this, I'm a diehard. I wanted to see Ja'Cory Harris go. Get him out of here. It was bad. When he came on the scene his freshman year, he had monster numbers. He had monster numbers when he was in Miami. It was like every season he would throw a critical pick in a critical game all the time. It was like you could never get your best out of him. And if he's taking responsibility for that, then good riddance.
He peeps over his face, so I'm happy.
Okay, one good time. I give him one good time. Like, come on. I still remember the hit that he took against Virginia. I still remember that hit. Okay, Roger, you got your back. Yes?
Yeah, what's up, guys? Sorry about that. A bit some technical difficulties again. It's a long way, you know. Wales is a long way from where you are, so you know these things are just happening, guys. I just want to apologize, but brought up the point yesterday. Brian Billick, what he said about Kirk Cousins, didn't like that, and I thought Kirk Cousins went out and proved him wrong. I mean, Brian Billick saying he's a backup quarterback, prototype backup quarterback. Sorry, Brian Billick, you know. Kirk Cousins, guys, is made of some stuff. I mean, you look at what he was put in behind RG3, drafted behind RG3, you know, done well for himself. Fair play. Tip my cap to Kirk Cousins. A nice pick, Ty. Nice pick yesterday.
This is
our
franchise to get behind.
Right.
When you sign
right.
a backup as if he's a starter, this is bad things if they fall for this Kirk Cousins thing. He's
right.
He's a backup, man. I get what you're saying, but
he's winning games, huh? He's winning games.
That's the danger.
He has 5 wins on the season. But, Robbie, this is what I want to say. Do you think 5 years from now, Kirk Cousins will be a starter in the NFL? Yes or no?
Yes, I think he's going to get better. I mean, this is his. Think of this as his first year, guys, in the league. Think of this as his rookie year. I mean, if you're going to judge him as a rookie, I think that's what you've got to do. You look at him, because he's at RG3, man. RG3 this, RG3 that. RG3 draft in front of me. Brian Billick's putting me down. Everybody, you know, who's everybody, have said bad things about Kirk Cousins. And all he's done, guys, all he's done is come out and win games. You can't deny him that.
Roger, that's not all he's done. He's lost games for that team. Like, as many games as you want to give him and say he's made plays, you have to say he actually threw the game away. Look at the interception. Look at the pick sixes. This is who that guy is. And we can't say he's a rookie. This is his fourth year in the NFL. He came in same year as RG3. Had all the different advancements that RG3 had. And even had a coach who wanted him over RG3 and put in a system based on the way he played. He is what he is.
He hasn't
not
played
even that. Because nobody would even know who he was. If Kolodinata does not jack up Griffin's knees, and then they play on that shitty field they got on Landover, nobody would even know who Cousins was because Griffin would still be playing.
Guys, who is he at around him? Players now? Who can you say that's been a decent receiver or, you know, a decent player that's been consistently good for him? I mean, he hasn't had anybody.
He has the next all-pro tight end playing for him. He played with Alfred Morris for the majority of the season. He's got a nice little young running back in Jones. D-Jack's probably going to be in and out of the offense. That's whatever. Yeah, but Pierre Garçon is a solid receiver. So he's not out there with nothing. He's just not a good player. And like I said, pull up his stats. Look at the interception and touchdown ratio and tell me if anybody wants that as a starter. He's not good. This is Gruden's way of saving his job after getting into that fight with the ownership about RG3. This is his way of saving it and saying my system works. But he knows that guy's not good. He's a backup.
Yeah, he hasn't had that's this season he's had DeSean Jackson. He hasn't had a consistent receiver. You know, I like the guy, you know. I like him. He's poised, and you know, I can definitely see him getting better. I mean, he's improved. He's definitely improved. But you know, it's proof's gonna put in. We'll see how it goes. You know, see how it plays out. But that's the beautiful thing about this league. You know, you just never know.
That's one thing, guys. When you have enough tape, I think we do know though. When we get enough tape gathered,
this is
the one thing I see, Roger, right now, right. And I said it at the top of the show that the Redskins have an opportunity to win this division, which is still within reason because they are tied for the division lead right now. He's 5-6 as a starter. He's under 500. Like even if he's winning games, you could give him the 5 wins. He's not looking good right now. He's under 500. Like if give or take right now that he's under 500, he's gonna lose the game. Like his percentage is showing that. And the teams that he's beaten outside of the Giants, which one do you respect? We can look at the schedule right now at the Redskins of who they played and who they've beaten, and who would you give them credit on beating? They beat the Dolphins. No, actually they lost to the Dolphins. Okay, so
they
beat the Rams.
Miami.
Yeah, they lost to Miami, but they beat the Rams, they beat the Eagles, they beat the Bucks, they beat the Saints, and they beat the Giants. Out of those 5 wins, I say the Giants is the more legit team. The Buccaneers are just finding their way right now. I mean, could you give the Rams credit? I mean, the Rams just went into Cincinnati and got slaughtered. The Eagles,
He has four two-pick games just this season. Just this small sample size, he has 4 two-pick games.
He's going to make mistakes.
And then you had the other. Okay, but those are pretty big mistakes for a quarterback. High interception rates are something that really doesn't change. And if you pull up historically, he's in that top 5 of a touchdown-to-interception ratio. Like, that's who this guy is. And if you allow him to convince you that he's a starter – and you pay him that money, they're going to be in the same position Miami is in for Tannehill. Like, I'm not saying this as a personal attack. I'm just saying, like, that guy's not good. I would say the same thing about Robert Griffin right now as far as him taking that starting spot for Robert Griffin. Right now, Robert Griffin's not good. So I can fully see you starting him this season. But to think to the future that he's the guy, that his play just doesn't prove it out when you start looking at it. But like I said, man, check the stats. 16 TDs, 10 interceptions.
Yeah, his contracts were coming up too.
11 games, guys. You know, and you got to give him time. I mean, look at Andy Dalton. We've seen the same thing about Andy Dalton last year. You know, when he was throwing picks and he was in the playoffs and losing. He was saying, "Oh, he's, you know, a quarterback can improve. You know, he's got a good coach there." Look at it. Remember Michigan State in college when he was, you know, winning games. And that's the Kirk Cousins I know. You know, he finds a way to get it done, and you know he's walking off a game, guys. He's shouting at the media. No, he's a winner. You know, he's just a winner, and he can improve. He can improve.
When you start going to those platitudes calling somebody a winner, it's because you know you don't have the stats and you know you don't have the eye test of who a guy is. He won at Michigan State. Yeah, everybody in the NFL won on the college level. Like that,
yeah, no,
you know what I mean? That's nothing to hang your hat on. I hear what you're saying in that the guy has improved and he's played a lot and we're seeing something from him. But as far as arm strength and him throwing those floating balls in the air and the fact that he has a gunslinger mentality without the physical capabilities or the ability to read defense as well, I just my assessment of him just breaking him down, I just don't think he's good. Like, I think if he's your backup, then you're doing good. Like, if that's your backup, great backup. If somebody gets hurt, he can come in. But starter, 100, because understand what we're talking about. When we say starter, that means $100 million. Like that's like point blank period. When we say starter, that means $100 million.
Yeah, I'm not saying, but you know how hard it is to find a franchise quarterback in the NFL. I mean, it's really difficult. And he's coming off a win, guys. He just won a match, you know. And we're talking about him like mm-hmm. he's been terrible, but he just beat the New York Giants, you know. And that's, you know, you just look at the wins and losses. He finds a way to get it done. He didn't play bad yesterday. I thought he played quite well. And,
Roger, yesterday you went against them.
Yeah, I did. For the win. Yeah, I did. I thought the Giants are going to go in and beat him, but you know he pulled it out. I mean they won the match.
Well, yeah, bad Giants team that didn't want to show up and play.
Right. What I'm saying is you saw it differently. If you felt this strong about Kirk Cousins, you would have said that they would have won that game.
No, I mean I just look at the Redskins in general. I don't think.
Listen, let me tell you how bad that situation is. Do you know the Giants are 32nd ranked in the NFL in pass defense?
Yeah, I know it's terrible. Exactly. I mean, I know how bad their defense is.
That means last place. They are the worst. And you still chose the Giants over them.
And they got lost corners.
Guys. Ty, did you see the first match, the first game? New York and Washington. Well, that's what I made my pick on, bro. You know, I thought of the last game, and I thought it was just going to carry on from there. That's logical. But my pick was logical.
No, right. That's what everybody's eye test is saying, though, right? I'm going with the Redskins because how fickle the NFC East looks. I'm not going there and saying the Redskins are going to win because Kirk Cousins is the guy. Like, I'm not doing that. I mean, he does have weapons with him. And if these guys can stay on the field, the one I'm really hoping I can stay on the field is DeSean Jackson because he finally went up top and threw a bomb with confidence. Like, if they can continue to make that happen, that's a threat. Like, that's a threat.
Yeah.
I don't see the consistency in DeSean. And if Kirk Cousins is valuing the football, then that's a whole other issue, too. But we know he gets caught out there. That's the one thing that everybody here in the kitchen yesterday was saying, that they don't believe that the Redskins could do it, just because I think everybody that went against the Redskins thought of one thing and one thing only. Cousins was running the show.
Yeah, I don't know. He's gonna earn his stripes, right? Don't get me wrong. He's gotta earn his stripes. But can he do it? I think he's got the guts to do it and the skill set. I think he's actually got it, guys. He wouldn't be in this position, right? He wouldn't be in this a starting quarterback in the NFL if he didn't have the tools. You know, he's got them. Okay, you want to say it like that, you know? New Orleans going to Houston yesterday. Drew Brees. You know, we all picked the Texans. It's, you know, you can't judge it on that. It's just give him time, guys, and we'll see, right? And then, you know, but I believe in him. I just believe in him.
Yeah, but the difference between those two situations is Drew Brees is proven, and Drew Brees has not only done it in New Orleans, but he did it while he was in San Diego, like being playoff relevant.
But you asked me. You said that did I pick against Washington because of Kirk Cousins? And I said no, but I didn't. You know, I didn't pick Houston because Drew Brees was playing. That's my point. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah,
it's like
right. No, that's it. Understandable, but what I'm saying is, what was making you sway away from the Redskins over the Giants? Was it
just
you felt Eli was a better quarterback in that matchup? Yes or no?
Oh yeah, I think Eli Manning is better than Kirk Cousins. No question. I think no, guys. Don't get me wrong. I think there's a lot of better quarterbacks than Kirk Cousins. I mean, he's definitely middle tier, but I think he can improve. You know, that's all I'm saying is
right.
I think he's got the guts and the time. You know, the patience and the poise to improve. I mean, that's all I'm saying. I think he's on his way up. I don't think he's on his way down, and I don't think he's going to stay the same. I think he's going to improve. That's my only point.
Yeah, the teams who stick with a guy who's not good enough and decide to force it, those are the franchises who stay where they are and just end up in either mediocrity or always drafting in the top of the draft. You have to get the guy. When you got 4 years of tape on a guy and he hasn't proven to be the guy, it's time to think of another one. And like I said, the teams who decide to be hard-headed and keep going with the guy who's clearly not it, those are the bad franchises in the NFL. Those are the great ones.
Just like the Washington Redskins, they have not found a guy since Mark Ripken left. They went from Shuler
to
Gus Frerotte to Jesus. See, Shuler, Gus Frerotte.
They stuck with Jason Campbell all those years when Jason Campbell had proven himself to be average and not in the franchise quarterback.
I never liked Jason Campbell.
Yeah, but that's the point. And I'm gonna just say this. I don't think anybody will do what Shanahan did that year again ever either. Which is draft the franchise quarterback top lottery and then get another one later on playing behind him. Because all you did was set the stage for not only confusion, but for both guys to always be looking over their shoulder. That was a horrible decision to draft two quarterbacks. If you draft a guy, you make him the guy.
Yeah, I agree. You know, you don't want competition as a quarterback. You want a backup and knows he's the backup and you want a clear starter. They never did that in Washington. I know you're 100% true. You know, that baffled me from day one. But, you know, I didn't understand that from day one. It was a bad decision.
And that might have played a part in RG3 trying to come back from some of those injuries so fast because he knew he had Kirk Cousins sitting over there.
No
so
question.
I just think that was a huge mistake. And
no
I don't
question.
Think anybody else would do it like that again.
And there's a guy who won a Heisman and didn't know anything about competition, didn't know anything about losing a job or being pushed for his job. So, you know, that definitely put pressure on him and that definitely hurt him, you know, and he is where he is right now.
Well, you can take the same for veteran quarterbacks. You think Peyton was teaching Osweiler stuff this year? You know what I mean? Like, you think Aaron Rodgers wants a guy to come in who's capable of winning? Like, nah, top flight quarterbacks don't want a guy. Hell, Brady was taking snaps from Garoppolo when he didn't know if he was going to be able to play this year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the beauty of it, right? The beauty of it is there's not enough elite quarterbacks to go around. If every team could have an elite quarterback, if I'm not saying Brock, I'm not saying Kirk Cousins is elite. I'm not. He's not. You know, there's no way. He's nowhere near.
I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this. That him, and you could group these two together, him and Tannehill are like game managers until they find the guy.
Yeah, I put them two on the same page as well. They're about the same.
Right, because these guys, they're unsure behind center, Rod. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't see him. Okay, so let me just push the envelope. And I feel like I'm jumping the gun and doing this Sports City, but I feel like I kind of have to. What if the Redskins do win the NFC East? Are they winning their first game in that first round divisional? or do you think they're a one and done team?
One and done.
Yeah, probably one and done. They got a good front seven on defense. The secondary is depleted, so that might cause problems.
That secondary is trash. That secondary is trash. Yeah, they still got D'Angelo Hall. They still got D'Angelo Hall running around there getting cooked. Still D'Angelo Hall getting cooked. Like that's bad.
That front seven is decent, though. That front seven plays nice ball. The offensive line is not what you would want, but the offensive line isn't bad. You got the young back Jones. If he can stop fumbling, he can be dynamic. That tight end is really good. So, I mean, they got some pieces. D-Jack, if he's healthy. But, yeah, I'm with you. If it's a playoff game, more than likely you're playing a more solid team, and they probably go home.
Right, and they probably will get home field, too. They probably will get home field at FedEx and get slaughtered. Like who would they compete with, like if you're looking at it like that? Especially if they made it out like they did.
Yeah, I don't like the chances there.
I don't.
And this team isn't built to be a playoff team either. This was built to be a rebuilding year, too. We got to throw Green in that. Even though I don't think Gruden's a good coach, honestly. I think his ego is just as big as his brother's, but he doesn't have the accomplishments of his brother. But, yeah, they expected to be rebuilding. So, I mean, hell, the division's open. They got a shot at it, so you got to go for it. But to see the Cowboys depleted and Chip Kelly failing in Philly, I mean, the door's open.
Okay, well, we are at the end of the show. I need plugs, closeouts from each of you, but inside of your plug and closeout, who wins the game and why? The Browns or the Ravens? Let's start this one up. Nas, I'll start with you first. Give me plug, closeout, shout-out. Who do you like in the game tonight and why?
I will not watch that horrible game, but I'll say Cleveland. And as much as I love the NFL, they would not shove an inferior product down my throat. So I'm not watching that. But I got to take mine to the one and only Kobe Bryant, who we're going to see retire next year.
Tomorrow. Save it for the cookout. Save it all for the cookout tomorrow.
All right. Well, I feel bad that we wasted. No, I ain't going to say wasted. I think we had a good conversation about Kirk Cousins, honestly. We had the pro side, we had the con side, and the only people who actually know aren't living because we got to see this play out and let God decide. But either way, man, Roger, if I'm right on this, oh, I'm going to ride you on this for years. But if you're right, I'm going to take it.
No, listen. You got to leave my big brother alone because I'm still picking on him on taking the Jaguars over the Patriots. I get to ride that one. At least that was a cool one. That's a cool one. And then it's like Brady heard it because they put up 50 on it. So that's good. But still yet. Kirk Cousins might do it. If Kirk Cousins win the NFC East, then Roger get to talk a little junk. You see what I'm saying? So that's good. So we got that going on, Smith. We got a pot of stew going on until week 17. Roger and Nash. If Kirk Cousins could prove one of us wrong, that's the pot that's doing. That's the pot that's doing. Okay, Roger, I need a plug, close out. Anything that you like to promote? And who wins the game tonight, the Browns or the Ravens? Roger, are you there? Oh, I got him. Okay, I see what happened. Roger, I got you here now.
I'm Nas. Loving the banter, bro. And I mean, that's what it's all about. I mean, we do it like our Sports City Chefs. I mean, I just love the game. You know, I just love the game, and I love seeing negativity turn into positivity. And I think Kirk Cousins can get that done. I don't know, but I got a couple of blogs I'm going to drop on the website, so keep an eye out for them this week because I'm flying out the week Wednesday. So you know, I gotta get that sorted out before I go. Johnny Manziel, oh, what's he doing? What is he doing? I mean, given an opportunity like he's got to just go to a bar and to lie to his franchise, man, what is the kid playing at? I just don't get him. I feel like I'm starting to come out of my shell a bit on this show as well, you know. And it's good to have Nas and T bringing stuff up from week one, dude. You know, really. I mean, I. I I love it. I love it. But I think we're gonna start getting a bit of a UK versus US thing as well starting up pretty soon. I mean, I know I'm fighting as a one man band with as the Dragon, but definitely up for that. But anyway, guys, have a good night. Enjoy the game. I think Cleveland takes it.
Okay, Roger, so we got one for Cleveland.
These women in Atlanta, lucky I ain't got your accent. That's all I'm gonna say. If I had your accent, I'd be dangerous out here in these clubs.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Okay,
I might come up with an American accent next week, guys, just to fool you a bit, you know.
Okay, hey, we ready. I got to cover it with my English accent. Something. I don't even know if I can fake it. I'm gonna try.
We should do that. We should definitely try that for fun. Just have a 5 minutes of everybody. No, I'll speak an American accent. You guys can try the British accent. And you can go anywhere. You can go Ireland, Scotland, Wales, or you can do like a Cockney English or Northern English.
they will burn me up. If people heard me on here trying to do that, they will burn me up.
I understand. Same here.
No. I'm gonna try. I ain't scared of that. Whatever. Okay.
Hey, man,
family anyway.
Come on,
I'll do it. You just let me know when, and then I'll do it. Listen, and then next week is gonna be crazy. So y'all stay tuned. So I got one for Cleveland, guys. Do you want to say a team? Browns or Ravens? Nice.
Oh, my bad, man. I thought you was calling Matt.
No.
I think I said Cleveland.
Okay,
I think
so
I said Cleveland. I'm just throwing
okay.
it out there.
All right, okay. I got two for Cleveland. Tommy, I need a plug, close out, shout out. And who wins the game tonight? The Browns or your Ravens?
I'm going with Cleveland. Baltimore just too beat up, too hurt. I don't even know. It's to the point that I'm so disgusted because I don't even know if I'm even going to watch the game tonight. I'm still debating on that. Good show. There's no way in hell I'm speaking anything because we'll lose completely ratings if I even try to speak anything but English. And I don't want Ty to lose ratings. Yeah,
and Tommy, apologies to you for calling you Matt. Apologies, my bad, man.
I was wondering what's okay. going on, but it's okay. Because we all know that I'm pro SEC. Just remember that. I don't build up. I think that's so overrated. It's Alabama and everybody else is trash. Good show, everybody. I don't believe in Kirk Cousins, but who are they going to go with? Because his contract's running up soon. And by what I've seen in the draft, there's not any consistent quarterback coming out. Maybe the dude from Memphis. But, hey, can't wait to talk about Kobe tomorrow. I'd have to figure out me and Ty was doing a little list. I'm going to have to probably take the rest of the night to try to figure out what I'm doing. But I'll come up with something.
Yeah. Yeah, yes, I'm bringing that up tomorrow because you hit me with it right when the show freaking started. I'm going to get you to get ready for this, too. He said top five all time, and Kobe's a part of it. So that will be a part of the cookout. Yes, indeedy. But Sports City, you already know what time it is. The whole panel went with Cleveland. You know I got to set this off. I'm going to wear black and purple, black and purple, black and purple, black and purple. I'm going with the Ravens. I'm going against the panel again. Thomas Big knows why, okay? Listen, check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the show. We'll be back here tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, lighting the grill on fire here at the cookout. On that note, this song that I'm about to play is the reason why the Ravens are going to win. Tell a friend, it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
My spidey sense is tingling. Still something got my radars up.
something going on. I feel funny, can't tell me nothing different. My nose twitching, intuition setting in like Steve Vision. I still close my eyes, I still see vision. Still hear that voice in the back of my mind. So what I do, I still take heed, I still listen. I still paint that perfect picture. I still shine bright like a prism. My words still skipping. I know you can't, don't, won't get it. You just chose to ride that ship, salt with it. I'm still float. I ain't the captain of the yacht, but I'm on the boat. I ain't acting what I'm not, knowing that I don't. You acting like you will, but I know you won't. You won't. I read between the lines of the eyes of your brows. Your handshake and match your smile. You fine.
My sins, no one to feel his wrath for me. I go through it so you wouldn't.